This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Thursday, April 19th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O @sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start with the NHL playoffs. We'll get to all the NBA and all the baseball. Pat Summitt retiring. But yesterday, two teams looking at elimination. The Pittsburgh Penguins, believed by many to be able to win the Stanley Cup with a healthy Sidney Crosby, down 3-0 to Philly. Just an offensive series for both teams, essentially. Go into Philadelphia for Game 4, facing elimination, and just hammer the Flyers. Pittsburgh 10, Philadelphia 3. Brizgalov, who came to Philadelphia, and I certainly thought he could, if he got hot, lead them to a Stanley Cup. He's been terrible so far, pulled after 5 goals. But Bobrovsky comes in for him, and he gives up 5 goals as well. So really a disaster for Philadelphia. But Pittsburgh still with their backs to the wall on the brink of elimination. You know all the cliches. They come back and beat Philly. And I mean come back. They were actually down 1-0. Claude Giroux scored his fifth of the playoffs for Philly. And then they were also down 3-2. But then after that, Pittsburgh with 8 unanswered goals. I wonder if that's some kind of playoff record. I guess it's an Elias Sports Bureau question. Pittsburgh outscores Philly 5-0 in the second period, 1-0 in the third period. Pittsburgh 10, Philadelphia 3. Jordan Staal with the hat trick. Evgeny Malkin finally gets on the board with 2 goals. Sidney Crosby scores his third of the year, also with 2 assists. Again, Philly up 3-2 with about 4 minutes left in the first period. Pittsburgh wins 10-3, and you got to wonder what that does to the psyche of both Philadelphia goaltenders, as both of them gave up 5 goals each. Now, Fleury has not been good at all for Pittsburgh, but they remain alive now. The go back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has to think, obviously, they can win at home and they can win Game 7 at home, so they have a chance if they can get it back to Game 6 in Philly and then beat Philly like they beat them yesterday. Pittsburgh 10, Philadelphia 3, but Philadelphia still leads the series 3-1. The other game, number 1 seed Vancouver facing elimination in Los Angeles, down 3-0 to the Kings. Clearly now Vancouver has decided to go with Corey Schneider over the up-and-down Roberto Luongo. A lot of people pick Vancouver to win the Cup. They did win the President's Trophy. But again, the good Luongo, the bad Luongo. Clearly now it was the bad Luongo early. They pulled him for Corey Schneider, and now Schneider is the man. And yesterday, Vancouver, also on the brink of elimination, beats the Kings 3-1. And, of course, not only the change in goalies, but the big news for Vancouver is Daniel Sedin came back after missing 12 games with a concussion. And, of course, a big boost to Vancouver's chances. Yesterday, though, winning 3-0, playing at home, Jonathan Quick having a great series, all for the Kings. Kopitar scores in the first period to give the Kings a 1-0 lead. And then you kind of thought that maybe that would be it. But no, in the second period, Vancouver comes back with Alexander Edler's second goal of the playoffs and Kevin Bieska's first. They take the lead 2-1. Then in the third period, maybe the key, certainly to the game, arguably the series if Vancouver can come back and win, Dustin Brown gets a penalty shot, but he's stopped by Corey Schneider. Later on, Henrik Sedin gets his first goal of the playoffs. His brother Daniel gets an assist. That should spark Vancouver now that Sedin's back and playing. Daniel Sedin back and playing. Vancouver 3, Los Angeles 1. Los Angeles still leads the series 3-1 as they go back to Vancouver, and Vancouver's analysis has to be the same as Pittsburgh's. You know, the old one game at a time, but now we have two of the next three games at home. We should be able to win the two home games, and we have to win game five and then beat Los Angeles in Los Angeles for game six. So you can't count out either of these teams, the Penguins or the Vancouver Canucks. Even though they were both down 3-0, they're now both down 3-1. The other game yesterday, a tough loss for the New York Rangers up in Ottawa. They had that great 1-0 victory in Ottawa in Game 3 to take back home ice. But yesterday, despite going up 2-0 in the first period on two power play goals, Ottawa comes back to tie the game in the second period. No scoring in the third period. They go into overtime, and it's Kyle Turris who took a shot between the legs of defenseman Anton Strahlman and over the left shoulder of the King, Henrik Lundqvist, to win the game, only 2:42 into overtime. I think people who don't watch a lot of hockey are now saying that was a soft goal, but Turris did what Alex Ovechkin has turned into an art form, and that is to use the defenseman as a screen and literally shoot the puck. I mean, this is a hard thing to do. Shoot the puck between the defenseman's legs on goal into the net, and I don't think Lundqvist ever saw it. So I think more intelligent heads have prevailed in New York, at least, where originally that was viewed as maybe a soft goal, and the reality is it's unlikely that Lundqvist ever saw it until it was rolling by his glove hand. He did get the glove up, but I really don't think he saw it. Ottawa 3, Rangers 2. Strahlman, who's now playing the point for the Rangers on the power play, got his second goal of the series only 49 seconds into the game. Then Ryan Callahan, the captain, scores his second goal. Gabrick and Richards both assisted on both goals. 6 minutes into the game, Rangers up 2-0 after six with two power play goals. You know how their power play has been much maligned, and they wouldn't score on their next five power play goals. But they did get two power play goals yesterday. They go up, but then in the second period, Milan Mihalik finally gets his first goal of the playoffs. Spez is still looking for his first goal of the playoffs. Those are the two snipers for Ottawa. And then Sergei Gonchar on a one-timer from the point ties it up late in the second. Again, no scoring in the third. And then Turris with his first of the playoffs over Lundqvist's shoulder. Ottawa 3, Rangers 2. Ottawa ties up the series at two apiece, and they come back now to the Garden for Game 5. Obviously now best two out of three. I still like the Rangers, obviously, but Ottawa is giving them more, all they can handle and more. Craig Anderson is a very good goaltender, has played very well after Game 1 in these playoffs, and he notches up the series at two yesterday by beating the Rangers. Ottawa 3, Rangers 2. In overtime. We'll get later on to the hockey games tonight and the standings of all of those series, but those were your three games from last night. Vancouver staves off elimination, the Penguins stave off elimination, and Ottawa ties up their series with the Rangers at two games apiece. Now, one sad note, not surprising, but sad, Pat Summitt announces her retirement yesterday after 38 seasons as the coach of the Tennessee women's basketball program. And I think everything she's, all the compliments she's getting, all are true. She changed the perception of women's college basketball. She brought it from darkness into light. I mean, now the tournament is covered like the NCAA tournament for men. It's covered totally on ESPN from start to finish. A lot of that goes to the credit of Pat Summitt, who, of course, 8 months ago was diagnosed with early onset dementia. She really didn't give any interviews or hold press conferences this season. I think Tennessee has suffered a little for it. Longtime assistant Holly Warlick is going to take over. And it'll be interesting to see. Pat Summitt has been named the head coach emeritus. So according to her statement, she's still going to be around. She's still going to be involved. But she has decided to retire as the head coach of Tennessee after 38 seasons. There will be a news conference today at 1:30 from Knoxville where she will officially announce her retirement. Again, you haven't heard her speak a lot or give interviews. You know, you have to see what kind of condition she is in. But again, the numbers are the numbers are the numbers. 38 seasons, 1,098 wins. Think about that. I mean, it's unimaginable. If somebody could start coaching tomorrow and win 25 games a year for 40 years, they'd still be another three or four seasons behind Pat Summitt. So I don't think that record's ever going to be duplicated. Most important, you could argue, 8 national titles. In the 31 years of the NCAA tournament, her Tennessee Volunteers team has made, Lady Volunteers team has made the NCAA tournament 31 times. I mean, these are remarkable records. 18 Final Fours. Again, 8 national championships. Pat Summitt elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame up in Springfield, Massachusetts. If you've never been there, you should go there because, again, it's not just the NBA. It's all of basketball. It really is an amazing Hall of Fame. That's up in Springfield, Mass. She was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2000, so certainly has enjoyed it for the last 12 years. But, you know, you hear everybody talking about her, and it's as much about the quality young women that she's helped to become, you know, great citizens off the court as well as great basketball players on the court. And the praise for Pat Summitt has been universal, even to her arch rival, Gino Auriemma of UConn, who had some very nice things to say about Pat Summitt as well. But she is the one who took it out of the darkness and into the light. I mean, she's the one who shined a light on all of women's college basketball, who just won season after season, national title after national title. Again, the numbers, it's just 1,098 games. I mean, it's, again, unfathomable. It's unfathomable. If you could win 30 games, I mean, think about it, 30 games for 30 years, you'd have 900 wins. This woman has 1,098 wins in 38 seasons. Again, the numbers just, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. I don't think that record will ever be broken. Obviously, you can't break 31 for 31. 8 national titles, will Gino get to 8? Maybe. But I don't think he's getting to 1,098 games. The real question for Tennessee is, are they still going to be able to recruit the quality player? Presumably, if she can, Pat Summitt will be involved in recruiting players. That'll be a big plus to kind of have her around, and her statement says she's going to be around in the program. It'll be interesting to see how she is at the 1:30 press conference, just to see how she speaks, how she answers questions, how she handles herself. You know, early onset dementia, sometimes that means you fade in and out, where she'll have her lucid hours, moments, minutes, whatever. And then other times, you know, she just has that memory loss that they talk about. So it's kind of sad to see her going out this way. And she certainly did stretch it one more year to coach this year, but already a lot of the day-to-day work had been sent over to Holly Warlick and the other assistants at Tennessee. But Pat Summitt officially announces her retirement this afternoon at a 1:30 press conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. Certainly the greatest women's coach ever. Will Gino ever catch her? Well, he might. He might. But everybody's trying to get to the standard that Pat Summitt set over the last 38 seasons. And certainly as a day-to-day head coach at a top, top program, she'll be missed by everybody. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
If you are a diabetic and concerned about maintaining your healthy blood glucose levels, please stay tuned to this important message. A market trial offer is starting now for a revolutionary breakthrough in natural blood sugar management called Glymetrol, and you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We are looking for 200 callers to receive a free trial, so call immediately. 1-888-799-9950. The ups and downs you experience from naturally fluctuating blood sugar levels can be frustrating. Clinical studies of the key ingredients in Glymetrol have shown these ingredients to be effective in supporting healthy glucose management. treatment. And now this new formula is being released to the general public. Your area has been selected to try it right now for free. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now, 1-888-799-9950. 1-888-799-9950.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to the NBA in a minute. First, a couple of NFL notes. Andrew Luck has been officially told by the Indianapolis Colts that he will be the number one pick. No big shock there. It's just been made publicly official. Luck is the runner-up in the Heisman, of course, to RG3. RG3 probably will be selected number two by the Redskins now. And there was at least a thought at some point that maybe he would jump Luck in the draft. But the Colts see Andrew Luck as the next Peyton Manning, and he plays similarly to Peyton, probably, frankly, with a little more athleticism, a little more mobility. So Luck will be the official number one choice. The Redskins will take RG3 at two, and then we'll see what happens after that. That's been made official now. Also, Asante Samuel is being shopped around by the Philadelphia Eagles. Samuel, who made a lot of interceptions for the Patriots, has been good, not great with the Eagles. For his part, he says he wants to stay an Eagle. And look, if you were on the Eagles last year, you certainly want to be on the Eagles this year, because you saw, I think, what they could be, not what they were, but what they could be. And I think this year, in a wide-open NFL, the Eagles are going to have as good a chance as any to win the Super Bowl. But Samuel being shot by the Eagles, don't know if the Patriots will take a shot at getting him back. Of course, the Patriots lost Antoine Molden to the Giants. He signed with the Super Bowl-winning Giants about 4 or 5 days ago. So we'll just have to see how that shakes out in the NFL. The draft, of course, starts next Thursday. They'll have the first round. Now moving to the NBA, few games with playoff implications yesterday. The Magic up in Boston to play the Celtics. No Dwight Howard for the Magic, no Rondo, no Ray Allen for the Celtics. And the Celtics beat the Magic at home. Celtics 102, Magic 98. The Celtics got some incredible shooting. Paul Pierce, 29 points on 9 of 14 shooting, and also 14 assists for Pierce. Again, no Rondo. Pierce took over the point forward spot, for lack of a better term. Avery Bradley, and if you haven't been watching the Celtics, you haven't seen how well Avery Bradley and Brandon Bass are playing. Bradley yesterday, 10 of 14 from the floor, 23 points. Brandon Bass, 21 points on 7 for 11 from the floor. Garnett with 15 and 9. The Celtics have other guys contributing. Again, they did this yesterday without Rondo, without Allen. They've really got, you know, 6 or 7 legitimate players now. So Boston will be a threat in the playoffs. Again, they're a little too up and down, a little too old. They need Rondo back healthy, of course. But they do beat the Magic, and that's a minor blow to the Magic because, well, we'll get to the standings in a little bit. I mean, they would need a total collapse to give up the 6th spot. But Orlando, again, no Dwight Howard. It's been a coming-out party for Big Baby Davis yesterday. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 12 for 16 from the floor in 35 minutes for Davis. Kyle Anderson, who's back in the lineup now, 12 points but 9 rebounds. Anderson can play inside and outside, can shoot the 3. Again, they have talent without Howard, but they're certainly not a threat without Howard in the playoffs, at least in my opinion. Jameer Nelson, 21 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. J.J. Redick becoming an everyday starter and a pretty good NBA player, 13 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, but not enough. Boston 102, the Magic 98, Boston 37 and 26, the Magic, and they lead their division, of course, and the Magic 36 and 26. A few other games with playoff implications, and we'll go over the standings in a little bit. Houston fighting for their playoff lives. Go over to Dallas to play the Mavericks. And Houston desperately needing a win, but the Mavericks get the win at home. Mavericks 117, Rockets 110, all tied up after three quarters. The Mavericks are up 5 after 3 quarters, and then they draw away 117-110. Dirk Nowitzki, what can you say? 35 points, 5 rebounds, 10 for 18 from the floor, 12 for 12 from the foul line, 3 for 4 from 3-point land. That's what Dirk does. He's Dirk Nowitzki, 35 and 5. Jason Kidd, 12 points, 8 assists. Carter off the bench with 23. Terry off the bench with 19. I mean, the Mavericks, again, I still say no Chandler, no Barea, no championship, but the Mavericks playing a little better. They now are 35-28. Houston drops to 32-30. Dragic, the point guard, 20 points, 10 assists. Luis Scola, 18 points, 6 rebounds, but not enough. 2, 4, 6, 7 guys in double figures for Houston, including Marcus Camby, who has 11 points and 17 rebounds, including 5 offensive rebounds. Camby still playing well later in his career. But Dallas gets the win, Mavericks 117, Houston Rockets 110. Another game with playoff implications, Clippers go to Denver to play the Nuggets. Clippers 104, Nuggets 98. Again, Clippers, I think, playing well enough to at least be a threat. Chris Paul, 21 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. You know, really stuffs the stat box. Blake Griffin, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. DeAndre Jordan with 9 rebounds. Williams off the bench with 19. Young off the bench with 13 for the Clippers as they beat the Nuggets 104-98. Ty Lawson with 24 and 6 assists for the Nuggets. Kufos, a good rebounder, 12 points, 9 rebounds. Al Harrington off the bench, 14 points, 8 rebounds, but it's not enough. Denver drops to 34-28. Clippers 104. Denver 98. One other game with some playoff implications. The Thunder go into Phoenix and beat the Suns. The Suns trying to climb into the playoffs. Thunder 109, Suns 97. A career high 40, count them, 40 points for James Harden off the bench. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. I mean, Harden, 12 for 17 from the field, 11 for 11 from the line, 5 for 8 from three-point land, 40 and 7 rebounds for Harden. Durant, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Westbrook, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, give these guys a lot of credit. Oklahoma City, 45 and 17. For Phoenix, Dudley has 21 and 6 rebounds. Channing Frye, 13 and 8 rebounds. Gortat, 9 points and 12 rebounds. Steve Nash, 12 points, 5 assists, but it's not enough. Phoenix, trying to make the playoffs, has a bad loss for their playoff hopes at home against the West-leading Thunder, 109-97. We'll go through the other games quickly. There's a lot of them. We'll just, you know, frankly give you the highlights, the high scores, and the score. Jazz keep their playoff hopes alive with a good win over the Trailblazers in Portland, 112-91. Devin Harris with 27 for the Jazz. The Lakers playing okay without Kobe. Expect to get Kobe back tomorrow. They beat Golden State in Golden State. Golden State's fallen off a cliff since the Monte Ellis trade. Lakers 99, Golden State 87. Bynum with 31 points. Gasol with 11 assists. Philadelphia clinging to the playoffs. Actually, looks like they'll make the playoffs because the Bucks are not playing that well. Philly 103, Cavaliers 87, Jrue Holiday with 24, Iguodala with 13 rebounds. The Knicks beat the Nets out in New Jersey. Knicks 104, Nets 95, Carmelo with 33 for the Knicks. The Bucks keep their hurt their playoff hopes by losing to the Washington Wizards in Washington. Wizards 121, Bucks 112, Crawford with 32 for the Wizards, Monte Ellis with 31 and 6 assists for the Bucks. The Spurs beat the Kings 127-102, Neal with 17 points. Couple more games. The Bulls hammer the hapless Bobcats 100-68. No, Derrick Rose. Rip Hamilton with 22. Walker had 16 for the Bobcats. They're now 7-54 on the year. The Heat at home bury the Raptors 96-72. LeBron with 28 points. And the Hawks beat the Pistons. At home, Hawks 116, Pistons 84. Tracy McGrady How's that for a name from the past? Leads the Hawks with 16. In the final game, the Grizzlies playing well. Beat the Hornets in Memphis. Grizzlies 103, Hornets 91. Rudy Gay leads the way with 26 points for the Memphis Grizzlies. Want to get to the NBA standings because, again, still playoff races at the bottom. You know, the ones at the top are important, but Chicago in the East is 47 and 15, Miami 44 and 17. Of course, they play each other one more time, so that'll be a big game for Miami in terms of trying to close it to one game in the loss column. But then Indiana 40 and 22, pretty much locked in third. Boston 37 and 26, leading their division. Atlanta 37 and 25 in the fifth spot. Orlando 36 and 26 in the sixth spot. Now, the Knicks are 33 and 29 in seventh. They're three games behind Orlando with four to play. Doesn't look like they're going to catch Orlando. Philly 32 and 31, game behind the Knicks. And then Milwaukee on the outside looking in, 29 and 32. They've got five games left. Philly has four games left. Milwaukee down two in the loss column. Everybody else out of it. Now, the problem in New York, or the complaint in New York, is the Knicks would much rather play the Bulls than the Heat. They actually think they have a chance. I don't think, if Derrick Rose is healthy, I don't think they have a chance. But Rose has, you know, missed a lot of games lately. But it doesn't look like New York can catch Orlando. And with the schedules the way they are, it doesn't look like Philly's going to pass New York. So it looks like New York might very well be locked into that seventh spot unless Miami can catch Chicago. And they do play one more time, Miami two games behind in the loss column. It looks like right now that the Knicks are going to get Miami, probably the team they don't want to get. In the West, San Antonio, what can you say? 45 and 16. They've got a one game in the loss column lead over Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City 45 and 17. Lakers and Clippers battling for third and fourth. Lakers 40 and 23. Clippers 39 and 23. Then it's back to Memphis 37-25. A good win yesterday for Dallas 35 and 28, Denver 34 and 28, Utah in the eighth spot 33 and 30, Phoenix and Houston both half a game behind Utah for the eighth spot there 32 and 30. So again, with three or four games left, depending on what team you are, obviously, you still have to say Dallas hasn't locked it up with 28 losses, or Denver. But Dallas, Denver, Utah, Phoenix, and Houston are five teams for three spots. And it might turn out to be just Utah, Phoenix, and Houston playing three teams for one spot, because now Denver and Dallas have two less losses than Utah, Phoenix, and Houston. And Dallas only has three games left. So if they go 2-1, those other teams can't catch them. Denver has four games left, so they'll have to go right now 3-1. But again, it looks like Utah, Phoenix, and Houston for the final playoff spot, and maybe if Denver slides and or Dallas collapses, that could be a wider group in the NBA. So still battles at the top, San Antonio and Oklahoma City. San Antonio leads Oklahoma City by half a game. Battles at the top in the East. Chicago leads Miami. Miami has two more losses than Chicago. And by the way, you know, a big regular season game tonight, and we'll get to talk about the time and where later, but the Bulls are in Miami to play the Heat. And again, if the Bulls win that game, they'll clinch the first spot in the Eastern Conference. But if Miami can win, they'll just be a one-loss differential between Chicago and Miami. And again, people in New York would like almost the Knicks to dump and come in eighth, but you don't even know who's coming in first, so you really can't use that logic. Chicago in the lead now. Big game tonight. Chicago down in Miami to play the Heat. And again, San Antonio and Oklahoma City battling it out in the West. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust.
Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to do all the baseball. First, a couple of baseball notes separate and apart from the scores. Pudge Rodriguez announces his retirement. Now Rodriguez, who I think is probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, for sure one of the greatest defensive catchers of all time. We'll have to see, you know, if he, I think he wanted to play this year, and he really just didn't get any offers, so he did announce his retirement. Pudge Rodriguez, a top defensive catcher, you know, was criticized at times. People said he called a lot of fastballs to throw out runners when there were runners on base, you know, interesting stuff, but you can't deny how great this guy was. I think he is the first ballot Hall of Famer now, whether he's liked or not liked, whether that affects the way baseball guys vote for him, I don't really know. We'll have to wait and see. But Pudge Rodriguez, Ivan Rodriguez, announces his retirement. One other baseball note, Terry Francona will now attend the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park celebration at Fenway Park up in Boston this Friday. You probably recall last week Francona said he didn't want to show up there. You know, he had some lame excuse now, especially with the stuff that Bobby Valentine is going through up there. Francona has decided to attend, and this will be the old, you don't appreciate what you had until it's gone, because Francona not only snapped the 84-year curse or managed the team that snapped the 84-year curse, he also won two championships up there. And again, if you were a Red Sox fan all those decades, from 1918 to 2004, you had to be thrilled. I'm sure you had to say just one, and you got two. So now Francona will come back as the hero who left after, frankly, it looks like losing control of his team in his clubhouse last year. And Bobby V, who really doesn't quite get it, you know, Dustin Pedroia came out and said it after essentially it was interpreted as Bobby Valentine accusing Euclid of whatever, not trying as hard or not being mentally and physically prepared. Just bizarre. What a gamer Euclid is, you know. Maybe Valentine missed a few of his years when he was out in Japan, but my goodness, Euclid and Pedroia would be the last two guys you would put on any list of guys who maybe don't want to do anything. But Francona will attend that 100th anniversary ceremony now. And you know the story, Fenway Park opened like the week the Titanic sunk or something like that, so in 1912. So it's just amazing. We have a hockey email from Robert in New York City. Steve, after last night's games, do you think the Rangers, Flyers, and Kings will prevail? Also, there appears to be inconsistent penalty calls for hits in the Rangers series. Has Brendan Shanahan lost credibility due to the vast array of what is considered a legal hit? Great job on WFAN this past Sunday. Thanks for those kind words, Robert. You know, there's a lot going on here, and I will have an article up later today on SportsTalkNetwork.com, at least about, it discusses a lot of those hits, but mainly in the Rangers series. And it is interesting. I think Brendan Shanahan made a very bad original decision on the Shea Weber, Henrik Zetterberg incident. If you saw the tape of it, Shane Weber took Henrik Zetterberg, you know, Zetterberg, one of those European stars for the Red Wings, not a fighter. Weber took Zetterberg's head in both his hands and banged it against the boards. And he didn't get suspended. And Shanahan on WFAN the other morning with Boomer and Carton said, yeah, I was close to giving him a one-game suspension, but I just decided to fine him $2,500 because Zetterberg wasn't hurt. And the problem, of course, is when all these other guys later on got suspensions, including Haglund for three games for elbowing Daniel Alfredson in the Ottawa Rangers series, everyone was saying, what are you talking about? You didn't suspend Shea Weber. So Shanahan made a mistake in not giving Weber a game. If you're close to giving a guy a game and the only alternative you have is to fine him $2,500, and we learned a lot of stuff in that interview. It's probably up at WFAN.com. If you're interested in hockey and what goes into the decision-making process, you should listen to that Brendan Shanahan interview on Boomer and Carton 2 days ago, I believe it was. You find out what he's thinking about, and a large part of the equation is whether or not the guy was injured. And Shanahan also disclosed, which certainly I didn't know, that it's in the collective bargaining agreement that Shanahan should consider the injury, whether there was an injury or wasn't an injury. So he decided, because Zetterberg wasn't injured, not to give Weber a suspension. Of course, if you see what Weber did, you immediately say he's got to be suspended for that. So they should have given him a game, and if he knew all the other things that were coming down the pike, I think Shanahan would have given him a game. So he winds up giving Haglund three games for elbowing Alfredson in the head. Alfredson has not returned yet. He's got a concussion. And Alfredson's the heart and soul of Ottawa. You know, he's the captain. He's got over 400 goals. He's got over 1,000 points. I think he might be the mayor of Ottawa someday if he wants to be. But he only gave Karkner, who sucker-punched Brian Boyle, one game for beating Boyle, who decided not to fight back. And I understand that as well. I go into the article in great detail about that. It seems that Shanahan, correctly or not, has a different view of the enforcers going after each other than he does of the big bad boys, for lack of a better term, going after the smaller stars. Boyle knew he was going to get into a fight if he wanted to fight, because Boyle had, you know, like, put his glove in the face of Erik Karlsson, the star defenseman for Ottawa, and the first game, you know, like, smacked him softly in the face four or five times, clearly to intimidate him. Well, once you do that, you know someone's coming after you. And it was the next game that Karkner went after him. In fact, Shanahan said that Boyle was warned in the faceoff circle that it was coming right after the drop of the puck. So the New York notion that, you know, Boyle was defenseless, got sucker punched, was helpless, had no idea what was going on, just decided to cover up on the ice, well, that's not really true. In fact, if you go back to the Weber banging Zetterberg's head against the wall, the next game, Todd Bertuzzi of the Red Wings, their big, tough guy, went after Weber in the first couple minutes of the game. You knew it was happening. Weber decided to fight. Boyle decided not to fight. And, of course, the problem in the Ranger game was Dubinsky was third man in and got ejected. And I said, how can there be an ejection when there was no fight? But according to Shanahan, these, again, that if you're into hockey, that's a very illuminating interview. According to Shanahan, the rule isn't third guy in a fight. It's third guy in an altercation. So even though one guy is beating the other guy and the other guy's, you know, just still has his gloves on and is light up curled on the floor, I guess that's true. Under the definition of altercation, that's an altercation. I said it wasn't a fight, but it's an interesting article. You'll enjoy it. The problem to me is, and in response to Robert's question, is all of these things came out of the Shane Weber non-suspension. So I think Shanahan, he sounded very sincere. He said, look, I play for the Rangers. I live in New York. I'm not trying to hurt the Rangers. But I think he made an initial mistake on the Weber. Should have suspended Weber a game, and then I don't think he'd get as much grief as he's got. With respect to, do you think the Rangers, Flyers, and Kings will prevail? I think the Flyers and Kings will prevail, you know, even though they were up 3-0 and they lost the fourth game, and they're clearly the underdogs. Again, you know, everybody, including me, thinks the Penguins could win the Cup if Crosby was healthy. They're still up 3-1. The Kings are up 3-1. As for the Rangers, I think the Rangers will prevail, but they're just showing you, and look, this happens all the time. It's happening with the Kings and the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver, the number one seed. The Rangers, the number one seed. Hockey isn't basketball. And if you get confused or don't know what you're talking about, you have a, especially if you have a basketball background, you just think, man, an 8 like never beats a 1. It's like a miracle when an 8 beats a 1 in the NBA. So how can an 8 beat a 1 in hockey? Two totally different sports. If you get the hot goalie in hockey, any team can beat any team. I would say that teams didn't make the playoffs could be the number one seed if they get the hot goalie. The goalie is the most important position in sports. It's more important than the starting pitcher, unless you could start the same starting pitcher every day, which you can't. It's more important than the quarterback. The goalie is the guy who can dictate a series, who can steal a Stanley Cup. He's the guy. That's why when you get the hot goalie and 8 can be the 1, that's why it happens. Now, if the Kings beat Vancouver, you can talk about Jonathan Quick. If the Flyers beat the Penguins, you're not talking about their goalie. That's been like it's been like there's no goalies in that series. I mean, I think the Penguins have given up like 23 or 24 goals in four games. And yesterday, as we discussed before, Brizgalov and Bobrovsky both gave up 5 goals. I mean, hard to think. 10 goals in the playoff game. 8 unanswered in the playoff game. Man, that like never happens. So in any event, yes, I think the Rangers will win. I think the Flyers will win. I think the Kings will win, obviously for different reasons. But, yeah, thanks for the email, Robert. Thanks for the kind words. I greatly appreciate it. I want to get to the baseball now, and we will get to the TV highlights, as always, this time of year with the NHL playoffs, with baseball in full bloom, with the NBA going down to the last few games. Obviously, a ton of stuff on TV. You really have to pick your spots. But in baseball now, in the American League, Texas continues Boston slide. Texas 6, Boston 3. Texas now quietly 10-2. The Red Sox dropped to 4-8, and again, it gets late early in Boston. Euclid did hit a 2-run homer yesterday. Wasn't enough. Texas 6, Boston 3. Mike Napoli hits his 4th home run of the year for Texas. 4 RBIs. He's got 8 RBIs in the 2 games that Texas has played Boston. Joe Nathan comes in to get a save. Nathan now, of course, the closer. The closer for Texas. So Texas, not surprising. Yeah, they lost C.J. Wilson, but, you know, they're not going to miss a beat. They've got a very, very good team, and they're already off to an excellent 10-2 start. for Texas yesterday. Hamilton 3-for-4, hitting .440. I mean, this guy's an MVP candidate from day one if healthy. Napoli also 3-for-4 with the four RBIs. He's hitting .273. Derek Holland, the tough lefty, gets the win. He's 2-0, seven innings pitched, four hits, two earned runs, three walks, seven strikeouts. For Boston, Euclid with that home run, again, only 1-for-4. He gets the two RBIs. He's only hitting .184. You got to wonder if he's 100% healthy. Nobody with two hits for Boston. Beckett takes the loss. He's 1-2 with a 5.03 ERA yesterday. Seven innings pitched, seven hits, three runs all earned, one walk, seven strikeouts, giving up the home run to Napoli. Texas 10-2. The Red Sox 4-8, Texas 6, Red Sox 3. A few other games quickly. In the American League, the Yankees fall to 6-6 after losing to the Twins. You know, the Twins come in, they're 2-7, but now they've beaten the Yankees 2 out of 3. They play again today. Ron Gardenhire does it with smoke and mirrors, but he does have the M&M boys healthy, Maurer and Morneau. Twins get 4 in the first. Beat the Yankees 6-5. Marquis gets the win. He's 1-0. Kuroda 1-2 now. Caps gets his third save of the year. Kuroda, two bad starts, one good start. Morneau hits a home run, his fourth of the year. For the Twins, Derek Jeter hits his fourth of the year in the ninth inning to cut it to 6-5. Not enough. Robinson Cano finally getting untracked a little. He hits his first homer of the year. The Rays bury the Blue Jays 12-2. And again, just to show you how wacky that AL East is, the Yankees now 6-6, the Rays 5-6, the Blue Jays 6-5. You know, the Blue Jays and the Orioles are actually at the top of that division. But yesterday, the Rays 12, the Blue Jays 2. David Price gets the win. He's 2-1. Morrow takes the loss. He's 0-1. Zobrist hits a home run for Tampa Bay. Scott hits a home run. Joyce and Sean Rodriguez. Joyce's third of the year. Scott's third of the year. Luke Scott, a nice pickup for Tampa Bay. Mathis hits his first of the year for Toronto. The Rays bury the Blue Jays 12-2. The Tigers beat the Royals 4-3. Scherzer gets the win. He's 1-1. Maharis takes the loss. He's 0-1. Valverde with his third save of the year. Escobar hits his first home run of the year for Kansas City. The White Sox beat the Orioles 8-1. Jake Peavy gets the win. He's 2-0. Hunter takes the loss. He's 1-1. Diaz hits his third home run of the year for Chicago. And A.J. Brzezinski, off to a good start, hits his fourth of the year. Athletics shut out the Angels 6-0. Bartolo Colon left the Yankees, signs with the A's. He's 3-1. Santana, Irvin Santana, takes the loss. He's 0-3. The Angels are 4-8. Still no home run for Albert Pujols. Cespedes, the new guy for Oakland, a very good hitter, hits his fourth of the year. Johnny Gomes hits his third of the year. And finally, the Mariners beat the Indians 4-1. Vargas gets the win. He's 2-1. Lowe takes the loss for the Indians. He's 2-1. Leach gets the save, his fifth of the year. Figgins and Ichiro both hit their first home run of the year for Seattle. Seattle 4, Mariners 1. We should have time to take a quick look at the standings in the AL, because again, already, obviously it's very early, but already they're very interesting standings, just to show you what the nature of baseball is. Down in Washington, the first place Nationals, do you know what I'm saying? The first place Nationals moved to 10-3. They beat the Astros 3-2. For the Nationals, two hits for Zimmerman, the third baseman, only hitting .240. He's the only guy with more than one hit yesterday for Washington. Matthews gets the win in relief. He's 2-0. For the Houston Astros, Schaefer, their leadoff hitter, gets two hits. He's the only one with more than one hit for the Astros. Washington moves to 10-3. The Astros drop to 4-8. A few other interesting games in the National League yesterday. The Cardinals, and again, what can you say about the Cardinals? They lose their manager, they lose their pitching coach, they lose a lot, but it just doesn't matter. The defending world champions Cardinals just keep on rolling. They're now 9-3 after they bury Cincinnati yesterday. Cardinals 11, Cincinnati 1. Garcia gets the win. He's 2-0. Leitos takes the loss. He's 0-2. Carlos Beltran replacing Albert Pujols, and you've probably heard the comparisons already. Beltran hits his fifth home run. Pujols has none. Green hits his first for St. Louis. Now, Beltran has had three lifetime at-bats against Matt Leitos, who's a pretty good pitcher. Beltran has three home runs off him in three at-bats. So give that a little thought. I mean, that's just pretty amazing. Rafael Furcal goes 4-for-5, batting leadoff for St. Louis, two RBIs. He's hitting .353. Beltran with the home run and two RBIs and two runs scored and a walk is hitting .341. Again, I don't know how they do it, but they do it. David Freese still thinks it's the World Series. He goes 2-for-4 with two RBIs. He's hitting .385. And John Jay, the center fielder, he goes 2-for-4. He's hitting .350. So just amazing what the Cardinals are doing. Again, new manager, new pitching coach, no Albert Pujols, and it just doesn't seem to matter. Cincinnati, rolling the third baseman, 2-for-4. He and Mesoraco, the catcher, 2-for-4 as well. The only guys in Cincinnati with more than one hit. The Cardinals, 11. The Reds, 1. The Reds dropped to 4-8. The Phillies and the Giants, and what a duel this was. Scoreless after 9. And the Phillies lose to the Giants. The Giants get one in the bottom of the 11th. Hensley gets the win. Bastardo takes the loss, obviously both in relief. And again, this was an unbelievable pitcher's duel. Cliff Lee starts for Philadelphia and goes 10 shutout innings. Think about that nowadays. 10 shutout innings, 7 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts, but he gets a no decision. And Matt Cain goes 9 scoreless innings, gives up only 2 hits and no runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, but nobody could put a run across. Finally, the Giants do score in the bottom of the 11th with Melky Cabrera's game-ending, game-winning single to right to drive in the only run of the game, and that run was scored by Belt as a pinch hitter. He singled and then came around to score the only run of the game. Giants 1, Phillies nothing in 11 innings. Want to get now to the TV for tonight. NHL playoffs, 4 playoff games on tonight. 7:30 Eastern, the Bruins at the Capitals, NBC Sports Channel. 8 o'clock Eastern, the Coyotes at the Blackhawks, CNBC. Doubleheader on the NBC Sports Channel is the Bruins at the Capitals, and then followed by the Blues at the Sharks. That's at 10:30 p.m. And the Panthers at the Devils, 7 o'clock Eastern in New Jersey. That's on MSG+. Those are your 4 playoff hockey games. Basketball doubleheader, and again, a big one. Actually, both games are big. The Bulls at the Heat, 8 o'clock Eastern on TNT. That's, of course, the Heat trying to catch the Bulls for the number one seed. And another interesting game, the Clippers go to Phoenix to play the Suns. I think more important to Phoenix, who's trying to get into that 8th playoff spot, that's immediately following 10:30 Eastern on TNT. That's an excellent doubleheader. Baseball games tonight, or today and tonight, I should say, on the MLB Network. The Cubs at the Marlins, that's 12:30 Eastern. You know, Ozzie Guillen's back. They had their lowest attendance of the year the day Guillen came back, so you have to keep an eye out on that. Tonight, Twins at the Yankees, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's on the YES Network. Rangers at the Tigers, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's on the MLB Network. Indians at the Mariners, that's 10 o'clock Eastern at MLB. And, of course, that's 7 o'clock Eastern out in Seattle, Indians at Mariners. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.